That's a little slide guitar from Don Felder there. You joined the Eagles as they worked on the album On the Border, and Don Felder's here, and Robbie Sawney is here. And let's go to the phones after I tell you about rocklineradio.com, where you go to check on shows upcoming here and guests here at Rockline. And 1-800-344-ROCK, 1-800-344-7625. You guys ready to take some calls?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Bring it on.
Let's go to David in Jacksonville, North Carolina. You're on Rockline.
Hey, Don. How did you get involved with the heavy metal movie soundtrack?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think my manager, Irving Azoff, who also managed the Eagles, had some participation in the film either as a music supervisor or was in charge of putting together a soundtrack for the film, invited me down to see the film and asked if I would write a song for it. And so I said, yeah, and I went home. And it was different making a song for a movie than it was spending a year and a half or 2 years making an album for the Eagles. So we had a limited time frame and a limited budget to work on. So I went home and wrote basically what that song is, and went in my studio and made a little demo of it, went back into Irving's office, played it for Irving, and he said, go do it. So I went to a studio and hired just a local rhythm section, bass player, drummer, and guitar player. And I think we had a three-hour basic rhythm section to record the basic track, and spent some time doing the overdubs and vocals and guitars and mixed it and put it in the movie. And as far as I knew, it was just a song that was going to be in the movie. And it's taken on a life of its own ever since.
It took off in about every radio station in the world, that song.
If I'd have known that, I would have done a better job.
You did a great job on that, man. That's a great song. David, thank you for calling, and great to talk to you in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Let's go to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it's Dan for Don on Rockline. Dan, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Dan?
Hey, Dan, what's shaking, buddy?
Not much. I just got two questions for you. Kind of techie questions. What's your view on the difference between analog and digital recording? And how do you feel about sharing music online?
Well, I think analog and digital are really two different worlds. You know, I think I grew up listening to an old Philco radio in the dash of a Ford, and the tubes heating up and pumping. You can see those things glowing.
And that,
you know,
great
and
smell.
Yeah, and it's just smell. Wonderful sound. And digital is just completely has a different feel to it. I use a lot of analog gear on the front end of my digital recording. I have a Pro Tools studio and use a lot of older Class A mic pre's and tube microphones and tube amps that I record, and use good quality D to A's and A to D's to actually record cleanly without all the tape hiss.
Right.
The warmth of tube amps and tube mics onto digital. So I like digital stuff. I like being able to digitally edit it and just work in that media, you know. So I'm a digital fan.
Now, how about online music sharing? I asked you about that, too.
You know, I think that's really, there's a lot of legal issues that go along with that. And I'm not really one to get into what the legal issues are of how to share music online or what not to. I think music is to be enjoyed, whether it's played live or bought in a record store or a CD or listened to on the radio. To me, that's really where the heart of the matter is when it comes down to music, is the enjoyment of music. And the legalities of all that and ownership and publishing and all that stuff is something that I'd leave
you don't want to get your
somebody else to deal with, you know?
Not
just want to pick the guitar.
Yeah, just want to have a little fun with it. Dan, thank you. In Grand Rapids, we'll go to Brooklyn, New York. John, listening to Rockline, and a question for Ravi, I understand. Is that right? No?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, okay.
I'm just curious, like, have you ever made musical instruments? What schools you went to, and have you sold your products like to anyone else? And have you attained the rank of Master Luthier as a musical instrument maker? You know, stuff like that. And is your musical instruments and products available to anybody out there?
First, yes, the guitars are now widely available. We're setting up a dealer network. Actually, we'll be at the NAMM show in Anaheim for the next 4 days, showing guitars to different dealers throughout the country. But right now, you can go to the website, which is rksguitars.com, and you can see quite a bit about the guitars. I'm not a luthier. I'm a designer. Now, we have how we design this is that Paul Janowski is a luthier, and we melded my design team and myself, and we developed a very close friendship with Dave Mason. And Dave came in about 4 years ago and started working very closely with us. So we basically had an incredible artist working with a design team and working with a luthier and developed this triad of talents that turned into a very unique combination. And as a result, people say, not that we say, that it is a reinvention of the guitar that came out of that collaboration.
Now, paint a picture of the guitar for us, Robbie. Set it up for those listening out there. What sets this apart? What makes this unique?
If we look at the body is it's regarded as a Ferrari design. It's a female shape of floating shells that are hung on aluminum polished ribs, which then attach to a center core. So it's an open design, and you'd have to, of course, you know, I'm painting a visual picture as best I can. But the guitar has these channels that run through it, and inside of those pockets are actually the controls for the on the top for the pickup selector, and directly under the play area is the volume control. So you can actually do a swell or a pinky roll very easily, or pickup selector change midstream in playing. Then we did some interesting things with the headstock. We developed a return or a little knob on the top of the headstock, which gives it additional sustain and resonance. But the biggest thing that we did was create new physics and resonance by changing the actual architecture of the guitar. And that was the big unknown, was that how would it actually sound? So it took us, after working extensively with Dave for years, we just evolved the tones, and got it to where it looks what we feel is beautiful. It's been published almost every day. It's published in another magazine or another news article as just a living classical beauty.
It's beautiful.
But then as Don experienced, once you touch it, feel it, play it, it's very fulfilling. And it's as much about what you don't change in the design. Yeah. As change.
Yeah, the LA Times just featured your yes. innovation here very recently. And you got the What's New Award, the best of 2005 What's New Award from Popular Science Magazine. That's a pretty good award right there. Tony Scott in for Bob Coburn, 1-800-344-ROCK. That's 1-800-344-7625. Don Felder and Ravi Sawhney of RKS Guitars. All right, Don, your follow-up to one of these nights, Hotel California. Yeah. One of the biggest albums in rock history, and the title track with you all over it.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that when we get back from a great song. Hotel California on Rock Lion.